Great. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. The church looks fabulous. And I must say that we have a lot of guys at Teen Challenge that every time I ask them what kind of church you'd like to go to, they point to Bethel. And so that's a good thing. Amen. And so the Lord is actually, yeah, for sure. Praise God. And the Lord is doing some good things right here. I mean, we've got many Teen Challenge guys coming over and visiting, and we're just blessed to be here and be a part of it. And as most of you know, we try to teach these guys from the Word of God morning, noon, and night. You know, at Teen Challenge, a lot of these guys come drugging and drinking and sticking all kinds of stuff in their arm, 20 cc's of who knows what. And at Teen Challenge, we give them 100 cc's of Jesus, and he sets them free, right? And so I just thought it would be nice. Most of you know what we do, but Teen Challenge started, there's always someone that doesn't know about Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge started about 50 years ago by a pastor by the name of David Wilkerson. You'll remember the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And then there was a motion picture that which made David Wilkerson kind of famous there in New York City. And it eventually he put together a coffee house ministry in the heart of Brooklyn, New York. And eventually the ministries started popping up everywhere across the nation. He found that there was a need for people to go away. You know, I remember when I was a guy that was using drugs in the on the streets in Toronto, and I remember this this church down in Toronto. It was a Spanish church, you know, and I would go in there. I was down picking up drugs, and I remember I'd go in there and I'd feel the Spirit of the Lord for a minute, and you know, we'd sing the song. I didn't even know the words because it was a different language, but I would sing the songs along, and then I'd go out and do what I had to do. But what I recall is that the Lord was introduced there, and you know, sometimes we think that our ministry is not worthy, but you remember things like that. And so, make a long story short, Teen Challenge operates centers worldwide. And, you know, most of these guys that are coming in, I know for myself, a church, you know, God, I love the church, and I love my home church. But, you know, when I walked into that Spanish church, I'm afraid there was nothing that the church was going to be able to do for me. You know, it was great that I was in the church, but most of all, these guys, you know, it's one thing to go up to the altar and get saved, but it's another to be discipled, isn't it? And to learn the ways of the Lord. And so, you know, and for a drug addict to walk through the church doors and just all of a sudden just dig right in is very rare. However, that's why Teen Challenge is available, where these guys can come and live for a full year and, you know, be immersed in the ways of the Lord. And so that's what we do. That's who we are. I thought it would be nice to show a video here that we picked up about 6 months ago. Some of the directors you'll see on this, I had the privilege to meet in the United States there. And so maybe we could show that if we could, guys.
The slogan was in those days,
once a junkie,
always a drug addict.
The only way out is through death or life in prison.
We've had a 40-year war against drugs, and drugs has been winning.
The story that began 50 years ago.
After you listen to a lie for a long time, you begin to believe the lie, and then you actually become the lie.
Hear firsthand the desperate true stories.
The only way to live a little longer in this life, become an animal.
I walked out in front of the bus.
I just helped kill my brother.
Before I knew it, I was strung out on heroin.
I just can't take it. I need a fix.
I was convinced I was going to die before I got 20 years old.
I pulled out the knife. I didn't even think twice.
Look in his eyes and see just a death.
I was sleeping in subway stations.
You never knew who was going to come back alive.
You just spiral down so fast.
Sometimes you don't care if you live or die.
Only God can do this. And they got down on their knees and prayed.
And so I said, God, if you're real.
Give me a new mind. Give me a new heart.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
It's the Holy Spirit that is working within your life.
Relive some of the most powerful stories of our time.
When you rescue somebody and their lives are dramatically changed, how can you argue with that?
There's miracles taking place. It's the only other way to say it. There's miracles happening.
We've heard mothers say, I have my son back. I have my daughter back.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure for people's life-controlling issues.
Teen Challenge, 50 years of miracles.
Hope lives here, freedom is found here, and changed lives leave here.
I'm asking Jackie Stradoff to come. Jackie, God bless you, dear.
Good morning, church.
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was the oldest of six children.
We raised her like all the other children. She just went a different route.
I got off track in life, as maybe many of you have.
Taking pills, getting high. I was dating the captain of the football team, and he was a senior, and then a cheerleader by the name of Lois, a blonde cheerleader, kind of moved in, and he dumped me for her. And the rejection felt really profound. That was the first time that I tried to kill myself. The next guy that I hooked up with was also older.
One day they called and just said that they got married.
And when I was 6 months pregnant, he had beaten me so badly, went in the hospital, and I had been carrying twins and they were born dead, and I was left sterile.
I didn't know about it. I didn't even know she was pregnant.
That summer was the summer that I found heroin. I mean, you just spiral down so fast.
Began to have to, you know, go out on the streets and commit all kinds of crime just to continually get the money to feed my habit.
I had five other children at home. And I mean, I did not have time to be dealing and going to court in and out and putting up bond money and stuff. I mean, it was just one thing after another.
There was a man that I was living with that was a drug dealer at the time, and
one night we went out, and when we came back, Michael was passed out in the bathtub.
And so we just pulled him over onto the bed and just kept shooting drugs through the night and didn't pay any attention to it.
In the morning I woke up because I was freezing cold, and realized I was freezing cold because he was freezing cold.
I can't call anybody or do anything because they'll come and they'll take all our drugs.
And at the time, Larry's working construction at this apartment site.
They took the body and wrapped it in a carpet.
And took him down the stairs and put him in the back of the truck.
And they carried it out to the job site where he worked. And he worked the backhoe and he dug down about 10 or 15 feet.
And we went and buried him. And we swore that we'd never speak about it again. Things got really bad for me mentally after that. That's when my little brother came over to check on me. And I asked him if he wanted to try some. And so I shut him up. And he immediately started convulsing in my arms. Dragged him outside to the balcony.
And he died in my arms. And he was only 19 years old.
I was furious at her. I mean, I said, don't talk to me about her. I don't want to see her. I don't care what you do with her. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I'm done.
The day that of my brother's funeral, my father came with his friend Frank, and he said, God sent me here to tell you that if you'll turn your life over to him, that he'll change you and he'll raise you up and use you to touch other people's lives. The book was given to me that Frank was talking about. And there was a number on the back of the book. And I went to the phone booth and I made a collect call to that number.
And they sent a ticket and they brought me in this program. And I went in this program, I was high, they just put me to bed. The next day I woke up and I wanted to sneak away. And she says, listen, she said, if you'll let us pray for you, she said, I'll drive you back to town and put you on the bus and you can go back to DC. I said, bet, I can do anything for 24 hours, right?
And they started praying. And I mean, almost immediately,
I could feel fire starting off in my belly right here. And it just raced through my whole body.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
Everybody was saying to me, God touched you. God touched you. This is Jesus. He's touching you.
I didn't know anything theologically, but I knew when I got up off that floor that I would never, ever, ever be the same again. Ever. And I never was. And then all I wanted to know was, tell me more about Jesus.
In my filth, he loved me. He loved me. Not when I got clean, but while I was still dirty.
When I finished the program, I wanted more, and I started hearing that David Wilkerson was going to start a Bible school for Teen Challenge graduates.
And she was chosen to go to David Wilkerson's program because they took the best students there, and that's where she met her husband.
I found out on my first anniversary I was pregnant with my son. Yes. And 6 years later, he gave me another gift and gave me a daughter.
Her kids have just turned out great, you know, and I just can't get enough from her now. I mean, we just talk all the time.
And I never once dreamt that Jacqueline would end up becoming a minister herself.
So what the world said was not possible, God said, just watch me.
What's been taken from you, what's been done to you, don't worry about it, because I'm going to give it all back to you.
You enjoyed that. What a powerful story of what God does. Eh? Why don't you welcome the Teen Challenge guys as they come this morning? Put your hands together. I'm just going to get these guys to introduce yourselves. Guys, maybe just speak up and or move up to the mics when need be. But go ahead. Why don't we start with Jason there?
Hello, my name is Jason. I'm 28 years old from Windsor, Ontario. For 15 years, I struggled with drug and alcohol addiction. But since coming to Teen Challenge, I've happily now decided to dedicate my life to the Lord.
Hi, my name is Landon. I'm 29 years old from Barrie, Ontario. For 14 years, I struggled with alcohol and drug problems. On June 8th of last year, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've completed the program, and I've come to realize that the only cure for me is knowing that God is real.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm 27 years old. I'm from Dawson Creek, British Columbia. For 7 years, I suffered with cocaine addiction. With the help of Teen Challenge and the love of Jesus Christ, I've rededicated my life to the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, my name is Craig. I'm from North Bay, Ontario. For several years, I've struggled with addictions. But with the help of Teen Challenge and the Spirit of the Lord, I've got a bright future ahead of me. Yep.
Amen. My name is Bradley. I'm 21 years old from Strathroy, Ontario. And for 4 years, I was a slave to drugs and alcohol. And now I'm learning to be a good soldier in Christ.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm 29 years old from Pickering, Ontario. Before coming to Teen Challenge, I was addicted to crack cocaine. I've been at Teen Challenge for several months now, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved my life.
Hi, my name is Manny. I'm from Toronto. For 15 years, I was a heroin addict. Since I came to Teen Challenge, I dedicated my life to Christ. He freed me from my addiction.
And I'm Brad, and I'm 41 years old from Wasaga Beach, Ontario. And I came to Teen Challenge a little over 4 years ago, horribly addicted to cocaine. But I can thankfully say that coming up very soon, because of Teen Challenge and the love of Christ, I'm going to be celebrating 4.5 years clean and sober as a result of what God has done in my life. One of the first things I learned was there are eternal consequences for our actions. God is paying attention to how we live our lives and how we treat each other, and most importantly, how we relate to Him. And this song that we're going to sing right now talks about the reality that our time here on this earth is relatively short, but God is paying attention. This is called Who Am I?
Bad for a bunch of ex-drug addicts, eh? Amen. Amen. I'm going to, in the book of Revelation, it says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so this morning, I'm going to ask one of these guys. They never know who I'm going to ask, eh? They're all sitting there. So why don't we get Michael? Michael, why don't you come and share your story? You're the guy, Michael. Hallelujah.
Morning. Excuse me. I'm just going to grab my Bible. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, so it's always important to keep this with you at all times, I find. You know, one of the biggest things I think I see in every church, and especially in this church, is the love. You know, those pictures that were on there earlier about the blankets and everyone's having fun, everyone's giggling, and it's a family that's knitted close, and you know, that's really what it's all about. It's about love, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in His Word. It's about love. Those are the two greatest commandments in the New Testament. It's love. And really, that's what my story is about, is I found a synthetic love. I come from a pretty moderate family. I have two younger sisters and an older brother. And my family, we did a lot of stuff together. But at an early age, I felt a void in my life. And during junior high, I tried to fill that. I started out with mild narcotics. When I got to high school, however, it turned out to turn into cocaine, alcohol, girls when I got my driver's license. And that filled a void for me for the longest time. I'd escape my feelings, you know, through biochemical high lust. And I stuck with that for a long time in my life. The enemy came into my family when I was roughly 18 years of age. And he turned my brother into an alcoholic. My parents' marriage turned into a pandemonium. I can remember the look on my sister's face. She's probably 2.5, 3 years old. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what was going on. You know, here's my little sister looking at me. And I don't even know how to deal with my own emotions, let alone my sister's. I literally got up and I ran away, not emotionally, but physically. I moved across the country. As I said earlier, I'm from British Columbia. I moved all the way to Halifax with a girl I was dating from high school. I wanted to run away. I had some money saved up, and I was like, you know what? I got to get away from everything. And running away physically sort of numbs the pain emotionally as well. You don't have to be there to deal with anything. And I started working in a lot of clubs through my early 20s, and that helped me numb the pain, you know? When I went to work, I was using drugs, alcohol, girls, and when I wasn't at work, I'd be using anyway, or I'd be sleeping. This void was so heavy, I had to feel it constantly, constantly. I slowly started making my way back across country. I found myself in Edmonton, Alberta. Two days, roughly, of using without sleeping, I remember I was in the front room, and it was about 10:30, roughly. Lawnmowers were going. It was a beautiful, sunny day, I recall that. And I heard kids playing, laughing, having fun. And this dark, shadowy presence came over me, and it made me upset, you know, to hear that, to see the glory of a beautiful, sunshiny day and the kids laughing. That upset me. That deepened me. And I started to pout. That pout started to turn into a cry. Sorry. And I started to bawl. I fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but really what the Lord was speaking to me, He told me, Michael, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, to be truly righteous and holy. That's found in Ephesians 4:22. And that was spoken to me. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what it was. I didn't know how to pray. Lord, what am I to do? How do I pray? He told me, he's Michael, you pick up the Edmonton phone book, and it's thick. There's a lot of people that live in Edmonton. He said, you phone every church that you can in the Yellow Pages, and you ask for them to pray for you right now. I did that for about 1.5, 2 hours. And when I was done, such a spiritual feeling had left my shoulders. I felt renewed. I immediately moved back to Dawson Creek to live with my father. I started going to church. I got a Bible. It's still here today. And I was frequent in the Word of God. I didn't have a lot of good friends, so I prayed for one. I prayed for a strong Christian friend to enter my life. We've been together for almost 3 years now. We're engaged. And I believe in guardian angels, and I believe the Lord sent me mine in the flesh, and she is a blessing to me. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every story, you know, that sounds like a happy ending and all, but the void started coming back to me about 8 months. You know, and as Christians, I think sometimes we stumble. We live in a cursed world, and this kept coming back and back, so I went out and I used. and I felt so disgusted and dirty. I used to hide that emotion. It makes no sense. It's a vicious roller coaster. Eventually, my fiance found out, and the Lord doesn't forgive 7 times 70 times. He gives infinite. And she is in a great walk with the Lord, and she forgave me. She bowed her head in front of me. She spoke something under her breath. She was probably talking to the Father. And she looked up. She said, "Michael, I forgive you, but you're getting help." We prayed about it, and I didn't want a 30-day, a 90-day program. I wanted something that was going to reunite me with Christ. I was going to church at the time, 1 foot in, 1 foot out of the world. And we decided on Teen Challenge. The Lord led me to this one here in Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, the Lord is amazing because I know exactly why he sent me here. The relationship that I have with my brothers on the platform and the brothers I have sitting down there is amazing. We're a family. And it's the same love that we feel every day that I've seen in this church. I've seen a couple brothers break down, and we'll pray. We'll go and we'll touch. We pray for them. You know, it's not... 5 years ago, a friend would want to take me out for a beer. That's not what a friend does. No, a friend's going to pray for you. And, you know, Jesus Christ, how you can see the reflection of it in the brothers every day. Every day. It's a discipleship program. We're talking the Word of God. We're speaking the Word of God. And we're praying constantly. And it's just great. It's such it's a beautiful thing. It really is. The love of Christ is amazing. And he can fix anything. And I'd just like to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians 13. And it's, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude and doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out." And, you know, that's the truth. I know Brother Murray spoke about Psalms 40 there, about taking us out of the darkness and putting us on a solid foundation on the rock. And Matthew 7:24 talks about that too. And that's what Teen Challenge is. You know, we've all been plucked out of mud, muck, darkness, and we're learning how to build our lives on solid foundation, on rock. And, you know, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It's amazing. Thank you very much.
I think a preacher is born. Amen. This guy, you never know what you're going to get. Why don't we sing another song there, Brad?
So many of you might remember the song, "Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man." Yes? Everybody remember the song? Great, great version by Ann Murray. Awesome. It was out, I think, in the 70s. Excellent version. We don't do it like that. We kind of Teen Challenged it a little bit. We changed the verses to be more Teen Challenge specific. The chorus is the same, so if you know the chorus and you want to sing along, by all means, you can help us out, and we hope you like the new words we came up with. It's the Teen Challenge version of "Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man."
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. I was trapped, I was bound in the evil world of addiction. There was nothing in the world that could help me cure my affliction. Then I cried unto the Lord, "Please help me, Jesus, make my life brand new." And then I started my new life, asking, "What would Jesus do?" Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. God put me to work so I could learn how to change my behavior. I found I couldn't do it by myself, so I trusted my Savior. Jesus took me by the hand and he taught me things I never knew I could do. For God, he so loved the world, he sent Jesus to love me too. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Now some of you remembered that one. Landon, come on over. I'm going to introduce Landon to you. Great guy. He just graduated the Teen Challenge program, staying on as an intern, and really, really proud of this guy. So why don't we give him a hand as he comes there.
Hello, church. I want to thank you all for having us here. Most of all, I want to thank the Lord for making it possible, because if it wasn't for him, I'd either be dead or in jail. That's for sure. It's an honor and a privilege to share with you what he's done in my life. I was born in Toronto to an average family. I lived there for 11 years and then moved to Barrie. My mother is a Christian and my father is not. I didn't understand why my mother always wanted me to go to church and why my dad got to stay home. I became confused about God and Christianity, and I spent my whole life as a very indecisive person, always making poor choices. Around 14 years of age, I discovered alcohol. During my high school years, I used a lot of different drugs, marijuana to cocaine and everything in between. I quickly became an alcoholic. As a result of this, I lost all motivation for school, and it led to a party lifestyle. I eventually gave up on everything else in my life, like sports, guitar lessons, different jobs, and further education. I found myself in the streets all the time, and I made it my home. Any job or place to live was soon lost because all my time and money went towards drugs and alcohol. Years went by without any contact with my family. I felt guilty and ashamed, and I couldn't even pick up the telephone. I was sleeping outside in vehicles and vacant houses, anywhere that was offered to me or easily accessible. My life consisted of nothing but criminal activity. Even through all of this, I know God was with me, especially through my mother. She's like an angel to me. She introduced me to a Christian man who gave me a great job and later told me about Teen Challenge. God bless him. It seemed things were getting better, but at the same time, my use of crack cocaine was getting worse. I soon lost the best job I had ever had, and once again, I was jobless, homeless, and went back to the streets. 4 days after I was evicted from my house, I went back to collect my employment insurance check, and I found the place surrounded by detectives and other police. My roommate had died of an overdose. God surely intervened here. I could easily have died with him. After speaking with a detective, I immediately cashed my check and found a crack dealer. It was as if his death never happened. I was a slave to this drug. David Wilkerson, the man who started Teen Challenge, wrote a lot of books. The first one I read was called Two of Me. And as I read it, what I heard shocked me. I'd like to share some of it with you. There are things about myself that scare me. My evil nature held a strange charm over me. There was a terrifying struggle going on in my body for control, an evil presence always in my mind, trying to make me do things, trying to overthrow every good and decent thing I tried to do. This evil part of me kept dragging me down, making me do things I really didn't want to do. It was such an overpowering presence. I obeyed its every command and ended up with feelings of guilt, loneliness, and emptiness. In Romans 7:14-25, the Apostle Paul explains his own struggle with sin, and it speaks volumes to me. Here's a condensed version of it. My own behavior baffles me, for I find myself doing what I really loathe, but not doing what I really want to do. I often find that I have the will to do good, but not the power. When I want to do good, only evil is within my reach. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is inherent in my mortal body. For left to myself, I serve the law of God with my mind, but in my unspiritual nature, I serve the law of sin. It is an agonizing situation. Who can set me free from the prison of this mortal body? Only Christ. 2008 was an extremely bad year for me. I had wasted approximately $15,000 on crack cocaine in less than 6 months. I was arrested and charged with 3 counts of possession and was facing jail time. That summer, I was severely beaten with a golf club over a $30 debt. Approximately 1 month later, I had my jaw broken while I was passed out in a buddy's backyard. My life had turned into a nightmare. I was living in crack houses, using the drug, and selling it. I couldn't understand why I kept on doing something that I hated and why I insisted on torturing myself. Until I met a woman that was deeply involved in witchcraft, I could never comprehend the spiritual aspect of Christianity. I found it hard to believe in something that I couldn't see. What I experienced was more powerful than any drug, and excuse the phrase, but it scared the hell out of me. I had finally come to realize that God was real, and so was the devil. The Lord guided me through this spiritual war and saved me from certain death. With help from family, friends, and Teen Challenge, I avoided going to jail, and I joined the Teen Challenge program. I also became a Christian that same summer, and I still found it hard to give up drugs and alcohol. I knew I had to leave, and soon. I firmly believe that Satan saw this change in me, and it was the reason for being attacked physically, mentally, and spiritually. It was such a relief to get away from that horrible life filled with agony and despair and begin a new one built on hope and faith in God. I still have thoughts about the past, but they don't bother me so much as time goes by and God helps me with them through prayer. I don't want to completely forget because they are a reminder of what he has done in my life. I'd like to share 2 verses with you, Hebrews 13:5-6. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I now have a promising future to look forward to. I have completed the program, and I will dedicate my life to God. As my relationship with him grows, I will use my knowledge and understanding of his word to teach others about the truth. Everything else, I leave in the Lord's hands. Thank you.
It's a good testimony, eh? It's, you know, I've listened to a lot of testimonies over the years, and guys like this still touch me, you know. And, you know, Teen Challenge has about a 70% cure rate or success rate, and the reason is Jesus. And Jesus sets people free, for sure. I was talking to my little daughter the other day. Some of you know her, little Hannah. She's 5 years old, and we love her a lot. So we were sitting, and I was having a devotion with her at night, and we're sitting, and we're doing the devotion, and then all of a sudden she looks at my arms, and she says, Daddy, what are those marks on your arms, you know? And, you know, I told her, I just said, well, you know, Daddy used to do some things that were not right, honey, you know, I said, and got involved in bad stuff, but I want you to know that Daddy went to a place, and God made it all better. And God makes it all better for these guys. I was just thinking of that, you know. And God is good, isn't he? God changes lives. And I didn't know what to say to my daughter there. But the fact is she's seen, and she wants to know, you know. And I believe that these guys are going to, you know, grow to be leaders in their communities, in their homes, and most of all, good fathers. Isn't there enough deadbeat fathers out there? We need some good fathers. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so these guys are going to sing another song in a minute, and I'm going to, Murray asked me to close in prayer, but I just wanted to mention, most of you know that Teen Challenge relies totally on gifts from people that support and understand what we do and who we are. And so, you know, it's really hard sometimes to ask people for money, but, you know, this guy in the States once told me, he said, you know, as a director of Teen Challenge, don't be ashamed to ask people to help you. And don't be ashamed to ask God's people for God's money to do God's work. Amen. And so this morning, I'm just going to ask you to make a donation out there at the table. We're not going to take up an official offering, but out there at the Teen Challenge table. Now, I have this book. We always try to have a different book here and there. But this one is called the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. And it's 800 promises from the Word of God. And inside, it's just, you know what, I've gone through this. And for every, you know, Jesus Christ forgives daily. And then it talks all about Scripture. It gives you all the Scripture that is for forgiveness and so on and so on. And so if you want one of these, we'll give you that for free as a token of our appreciation this morning. David Wilkerson wrote that book many years ago. And so I hope you will enjoy that. Of course, we have the sponsorship program as well, where people can help us by sponsoring a student. You guys are smiling now. Okay, we want to see you smile. Okay, that's it. But the reality is that you guys seen the video, you heard the lives, and things need to be changed. And these guys come to us from all over the country, and often we'll get guys from our town here in Sault Ste. Marie, and we'll send them to another center to get them out of their stomping ground, you know. But anyway, did you enjoy the testimonies of these guys this morning? Wasn't that a nice thing? And so this morning, don't forget, okay, just go to the back table. We need your help. We have some great fundraisers through the year, but they're not enough. We need people to join up as sponsors. We need people to help us. And it's always a struggle. It's like a roller coaster ride, finances. You know, most of you know what I'm talking about. We need to pay the bills. And there is a place of hope for these guys right here in Sault Ste. Marie. And, we put ourselves on the map, so to speak, because most of the Teen Challenge Centers, as you know, are in the large, population bases, Toronto and Vancouver and so forth. But people are talking about Sault Ste. Marie right now. Hallelujah. And so don't forget to do that. If you'd like to make out a check, you can make it out to Teen Challenge. And just don't forget that 1 million is spelled 1-0-0-0-0-0. I'm not kidding. There was a guy that gave $1 million to a Teen Challenge Center just about a year ago. And so if you know that guy's address, you know his phone number, let me know, okay? But anyway, drop by the table, pick up a Jesus Person Promise handbook, okay? And we're going to get these guys to sing one more song, and then I'll close in prayer, okay, guys, for the day. Yep.
Song's called I Can Only Imagine.
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I could only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I could only imagine. I could only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? or in all of you be still, will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I could only imagine. Yeah, I could only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
You know, some of these guys, they come away from Teen Challenge, and you can tell that they're on fire for God. They're, you know, Holy Ghost floating, Bible toting, Spirit jolting, children of God as they leave, right? But when the doors open for them and they get out there, the reality is that there's a world out there full of all kinds of stuff. And so we need to pray for these guys as they leave. So I think of Landon right now, who has just graduated. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind picking a face there and just praying for them as they go through the program. And, you know, prayer is powerful. You know, I told you guys that 70% of all graduates, documented 5 years after, 70% of our graduates are clean and drug-free and serving the Lord, which is a great, great thing, as opposed to a 5% in the government-run program. So there's a big difference there. However, there are guys, there's that 30% that are, you know, running. And look, one thing's for sure, though, they've been introduced to Jesus in a big way. And so they are changed, okay, so they can come back, all right? And I just wanted to mention that today. Why don't we bow our heads, have a word of prayer, and that's really all we got, because that's all we know. And so bow your heads this morning, and we'll just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for this place, this beautiful building. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the glory and honor for all that was done here this morning. And Father, we just ask that you be a lamp to our feet as we go from this place. Help us to witness this week to others, Lord, and be a light in the dark world, Lord. And Father, we just continue to pray for these young men that are on the platform, Lord, that you would change and mold them and make them into the man of God you want, Lord. And for those that have left Teen Challenge, that are still searching, God, we pray against the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. We just tell the stinking enemy to hands off, and we ask that you would come into their hearts right now, even as we pray, Lord, that you would be real in their lives. And Lord, we ask that if there's people here represented by family members or friends that are struggling in this area, Lord, that we would pray that your anointed spirit and power would be upon them. Lord, that they would be able to witness to their family members and friends. And God, we thank you in advance for good things. You're a good God. We love you, Lord. And we lift this day up to you. And, praise your name, Lord. We give you the glory and honor and praise for all that's going to happen this week. Help us to go now and to be proud of you, God. We thank you in advance for good things. In Jesus' mighty and awesome name, amen. Amen. So make sure you give these guys a handshake or a hug. Why don't we let these guys go to the back first? Okay, handshake or a hug. Girls, just a handshake. And we'll just get them to the back and give them thank you for allowing us to come. Why don't we give the Lord a clap offering right now? You got it? Okay.
I just wanted to make a very quick announcement about something that's happening this Wednesday at Galaxy Cinemas. Hillsong United, with their iHeart Revolution, is doing a documentary called We're All in This Together. And it's a lot about social justice, a lot about what we were just talking about here. So if you want to see that, it's at 7 p.m. at the theater. I think tickets are around $15, and it's about 2.5 hours long. If you're not involved in a small group, here's an excellent thing to do. If you are, don't skip out. All right, thanks.